Hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's co-host and fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Dana, you got anything super cool in your cup this morning?
Oh, man, no.
Me either. I know. All I've got is mango hibiscus pure leaf tea.
At least you have something. I got nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Did I not give you enough time to give you a...
No, man.
Or time to brew something?
Okay, so real talk for everyone listening, I'm going to be very open with you. I literally just rolled out of bed.
There you go, everybody. That's the magic of how Dana prepares for her workday.
Just literally just rolled out.
You may want to
look and then say good morning to mom and then booked it downstairs to get ready for a podcast this morning.
Yeah, you may want to preset things next time. Have everything plugged in and
just ready to go.
That way, yeah, you can literally at a minute before the show hit the button on the computer and then boom. Be ready to go just like that.
But the one drink I am and I'm gonna most likely fix after the show is my mint tea. Look, now I'm all fancy. I add actual real mint leaves.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
To give that extra kick. Yeah.
Real mint leaves. Like a mint julep. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not tea at all.
And what's so interesting is because I boil them.
Uh-huh.
So it does give off this interesting herb-like scent.
Okay.
In the kitchen.
Well, it is mint.
Yes.
People do refer to things as being minty. I can get that. I can get that. Okay. So it's not a bad herbal smell, you're saying?
Oh, I'm just saying that if somebody walked in the house, they would be, they would take a second sniff and,
and wonder if something else is going on.
Yeah.
Ah, Dana.
Yes.
Please be careful what leaves you're boiling. Are you sure they're mint leaf teas?
Yes, they are mint leaves.
I'm just asking when I'm trying to rat you out or anything, but.
Oh, man.
I'm just a little concerned.
I'm just saying, if you were to, come on over.
That's right.
The house might smell a certain type of way. Uh-huh. But it's mint leaves, everybody.
But it's mint leaves, everyone.
Mint leaves. Yes.
If you don't believe that. Wow. Well, at least now we know what you're not drinking. How was your weekend?
Oh, man. Woo.
A busy one?
Yeah, definitely busy. Me and my mother, everyone listening, we are weekend warriors. We are still, doing updates to our little town home here. And so, yeah, very, very busy. I think for the next actually couple of weekends, we're going to be busy.
Busy working.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So this week, I did all the painting upstairs and my mom, she worked on our new floor. Everyone, we got new wood laminate flooring installed. But unfortunately, the individual who installed it, he used nails and you can see the nails and it's driving my mom crazy. So yeah. She is doing everything and anything she can to cover the nails up, Dennis. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this was not the kind of wood that snaps it into each other?
So unfortunately, the place where we live wasn't built very well.
Yeah.
So the wood flooring is uneven.
Okay.
So yes, so to answer your question, yes, the planks interlock.
Uh-huh.
But because the wood flooring underneath is not even, because we didn't strip it all the way down to the cement, just down to the wood again.
Okay.
And so, even though, it does interlock, because it's the wood underneath is not, is uneven and a little bit warped. Uh-huh. That's why he used the nails.
And he, okay, as opposed to towing them in at the angle on the edges only. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just wondering, because I had another friend who just had his floors redone in like the kitchen, the dining room, and the living room. Mm-hmm. And he used some kind of manufactured wood. It wasn't a laminate per se, I think, but mm-hmm. it was some kind of manufactured wood product. And they must have done it the other way, because his, you don't see the nails and all.
Right. Yeah. Because, well, you're, well, from my understanding with, especially laminate, you know, you're not supposed to, use nails. Like you said, it's supposed to have like an interlock.
System. Interlock, and, or you have this nail gun that nails at like a 45 degree angle kind of thing. You do that on like the hardwood floors, I know for sure. That way you never see the nails.
Right.
But they're still nailed.
Yeah.
But in your case, you see the nails too, and your mother's gone crazy over it.
Man, she lost her mind, Dennis. So I told her, hey, you know, we pay for it. It does, to me, it doesn't look that bad. But my mom is a very particular type of person. She likes things a specific way, and she has, I'm just gonna keep it real, she has OCD. Yes. So she, like I said, is driving her crazy, and she has spent a small fortune to, you know, buy tools to try to hammer these nails underneath the laminate and putty and wood coloring and
So she could never like live in an old barn house.
No,
because you've seen the floors of like an old barn house.
Yes, I
first
have.
Of all, they're big, planks of wood, big nails.
But unless you know you refurbish that stuff. But to answer your question, no, she couldn't.
No,
she couldn't make it.
It'd be way too rough.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, she's lived high society in the city too long.
Oh man, Miss Victoria. Yes, she is bougie. It's where I get it from.
Okay, yeah. I got you. So a weekend of projects for you. That's good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, major projects.
Good.
How about yourself?
What did I do this weekend? A little bit of cleanup. Cleaned up my, some of the apartment, and then also some of my books. Cleaned up my music library. It's time to trade in stuff again. I'm still of the old-fashioned world of CDs and all, so I had to make sure I had the right ones pulled out of the library I'll never listen to again.
Okay.
And again, because of my level of honesty, if I take my CDs out of my music library, I do trade them in, and I don't leave them in there because that would be theft. I know that's hard for people to fathom, I guess. But, you know, you don't just buy a CD, rip it, and then trade in the CD. Because in a sense, then you don't own the CD anymore. But it's all about copyright. I'll bring a copyright lawyer and explain this for all our listeners.
Oh, boy. That's going to be a fun show.
Oh, I bet it will be. Yeah. So I did that. And then I had, what else did I do? That's really about it. Other than, you know, watch baseball games and stuff like that.
Okay.
Talk to one of my brothers for a couple hours when I can get him between home improvements of his own. Which he's not doing, because they're like major level things, like redo a whole kitchen type of thing. Mm. But, you know, a lot of moving parts and all. Between that and, you know, he's got two kids that are just preteen era ages that he's got to, you know, do things all on the weekend. So talk to him for a while, because we hadn't talked for a while. So getting caught up on family things and such, you know. So, yeah, did that. Other than that, you know, most of the weekends are pretty eventless, unless I'm doing work, and I haven't done a lot of work lately on a weekend, so that's good.
Oh, that's, I was gonna say, that's very good. Yeah.
Although, you know, weekends have generally been in the past the time that I do my SAP petitions. That probably rings true for a lot of our listeners out there in financial aid land, where there's just not the time to read all the student petitions on a, you know, day-to-day basis or work it into your day-to-day routine. Especially when, during our busy season at least, you know, we could have, you know, a couple hundred petitions in the start of a semester. And I know how employees like you, Dana, get the constant questions from the students. Has my petition been looked at yet?
You haven't answered it yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, like they get submitted, it's like they expect a turnaround right away.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying I punish those students, but I don't. I'm kidding. I still read their petitions.
I would hope so, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't punish someone just because they keep asking. Because I would have probably been the same way. You know, luckily I got out. I don't know about you, Dana. I got out before they even cut me off of aid. I never hit the limit.
Where you had to petition. Oh, no. Okay. You're one of those.
Yeah, I got done in time.
Okay.
You know, how about you? Did you get done with your undergrad and all in time?
You know, when I was a student admission, I believe I did have to petition one year. Yeah, because it took me a minute to you know, to finish up and transfer. So,
but you had no problem at your university then?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Yeah.
That's understandable. It seems like a lot of our students do because, you know, in short, before we move on to the news here, satisfactory academic progress. That's what SAP is all about, in short. And basically, it's where the federal government, you know, everyone knows that if you want financial aid, there are some requirements to keeping your financial aid, and that means you got to make satisfactory academic progress along the way. You know, keep up a 2.0 GPA generally. Pass a certain percentage of classes. Most schools bottom out around like two-thirds or like 66%. And then lastly, they expect that you'll complete your program in 150% of whatever the normal length of your program is. So, like Dana, like when you were back here at LA Mission, you probably were doing a 2-year transfer program, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's normally about 60 units.
Yes.
So you'd normally, your 150% point would be 90 units of, you know, so 150% of 60.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives Dana and all other students like her enough room to change majors, maybe not pass a class, withdraw from a class. For some of our students, take ESL or other classes before they hit that 150%. But once they do, they're disqualified. They would have to do a petition and have a pretty good reason why they need additional units. You know, things like they had to take a lot of remedial classes. That, luckily, Dana, I have to say, is less of an excuse now. And I do see less of it in general because most of the community colleges got the word to stop doing remedial as much as possible, right? Yeah. So now we instead do some supplemental classes. So you take English 101 and you take a supplemental instruction class or something that along with it so that even if you're not English 101 ready, you can at least start the class and with the supplemental help, in a sense, work twice as hard to get through one class instead of working through like a remedial class and 101.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking the numbers from what I've heard from most of the students and from the faculty looking at this, it seems to work, you know, for English and math, the two areas where we have a lot of remedial classes. It seems like it's working both at our school and across the state. So,
oh, that's so good. Uh-huh.
You know, and again, we also find that remedial classes, students who have to take them, tend to be at the lower end of percentages who graduate. So if you have to start, like, you know, back in the old days, I don't remember what math class you may have started with, but you remember. Yeah. So, you know, that's like 115, mm-hmm. 125.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then do you go on to college one math?
It depend if you were, because you could do statistics or, like you said, college math. Uh-huh.
So that's only two, but there's like a level below that. And then we took some of the classes like 115 and broke it out into two or three. So you could end up taking 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5 or 6 remedial classes before you even got to college math.
Right.
And the numbers are bad enough for students to pass math at any level, but to pass enough of those classes and then get in and complete your program, the numbers are abysmal. And that's a lot of why the state did this.
Yeah. Didn't we have some type of, it's been a minute, Lord Jesus. Didn't we have some type of test?
Well, we used to do placement tests.
Yes, yeah,
and
yeah.
So part of the state law, what they call AB 705, which was passed a number of years ago, this is the law that kind of changed everything when they looked at the numbers and saw how our graduation rates, first of all, are not that good. And then second, when you lump on the remedial stuff, it makes it even worse. AB 705, Assembly Bill 705, when it passed, basically changed the whole world of placement tests. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. You remember Linda Carruthers in our in our placement. Yeah, they would assess you for English and math so they knew what level to put you at for your first class. Mm-hmm. So if you were really behind the times, you might be at a remedial level English and a remedial level math. And thus you have to take extra classes. But AB 705 basically took other metrics into consideration. So it was like, what was the last class you did in high school for English and math? And then also, what was your GPA in those classes or overall? And in a sense, then the system would kind of figure out, oh, you were probably at the one level below English 101. Thus, we're going to put you in English 101 with this supplemental class, which might include tutoring or additional materials or an extra 2 hours a week in like a study hall type of thing. And from there, hopefully then in one semester, you'll complete English 101. So it's a little like a self-assessment. And I believe they've built it in now for the admissions process across the state.
Okay.
So when our students go out to CCC Apply, that is the California Community Colleges for all across the state, general application for admissions. Every school then can break out special things they want, but it's kind of like a common application for all the community colleges in the state. From that CCC Apply website, then they would go through those questions, as I understand, and then get placed in a more appropriate level class, hopefully avoiding a lot of remedial work. So you probably did a placement test, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
Right. And then it told you that
you
needed to take a class or two below college level to be ready.
That was exactly my experience. Yeah. Unfortunately, right out of high school. I took the assessment. Unfortunately, I assessed, I think in math 115 and then like in English, like 21.
Okay, so even a level or two below, because I think our English was English 21 remedial, English 28 remedial.
Yes,
and then you go to, and then you go on to 101.
And if you're a rock star, then you do 102.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did.
I was, and then you know we have an English 103.
Oh,
I did
excuse
see it.
Me.
I don't see a lot of our students taking it, probably because I assume it's mainly aimed at English majors or English transfer majors.
Do you know what the subject matter is?
I don't know. I assume it's some kind of literature related guess.
I think so too. Yeah.
Because, you know, once you pass 101, it tends to fall into that. But I don't know what it is. I've seen it so very few times on transcripts when I'm reviewing students with, let's say, less than stellar grades. probably because those are the students that may not be focusing on English as a major to, transfer then later.
Yeah.
That might be why.
I remember the English 102 class.
Yeah.
Was what introduced me to Milton, Paradise Lost.
Oh, okay.
What's
okay.
up?
All right.
Yeah.
I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, but definitely had to start, at the lower end of the totem pole there when I did the assessment. But I mean, you know, it was okay not okay at the time, of course, but
a couple extra semesters of something. Yeah.
Oh man. I would not want to revisit that part of my life.
I got gotcha. You.
It was definitely a difficult time.
Well, Dana, let me help you out of your difficult time. Let's play a little fun music and move along.
We're back for our second cup on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
Time for a refill here. After all, today is supposed to be a somewhat newsy day, so I figure we should give our audience a little bit of news.
Yes, we should.
Only a little bit, though.
Just a little bit.
So, NASFA members, did you know that our National Association is offering complimentary access to recordings of their new series of webinars aimed at new financial aid administrators? Access is free through June 30th, a gift to all of the valued NASFA members out there. So what can you learn at the webinars? Here's just a quick rundown of what they're covering. So they're going to cover an overview of the financial aid programs, a guide on how to find answers to regulatory questions, and an overview of the application process, student eligibility, cost of attendance, need analysis, verification, and professional judgment. To learn more about NASFA's new aid officer training, check out the link in our show notes.
So, Dennis, I saw in an article on the Inside Higher Ed website that our Governor Gavin Newsom is proposing higher spending for higher education in the state. This would be an increase from his original budget proposal from back in January. The increase is spread among the three public segments of higher education in our state, the UC system, the Cal State system, and the community college system. And don't forget the California Student Aid Commission. In all, over $48 billion are plotted for higher education, of which $19 billion is put into the community colleges. Now, do you think any of this money, at least the increases, will end up in our financial aid offices?
Dana, I'll make it a short answer. I doubt it. I looked at the information as much as I could, and I don't see any of that funding coming directly to us. I'm sorry to say.
Oh, man. Not even $20?
Not even $20.
Oh, everyone, for more information, check our show notes for links to the Inside Higher Ed article and to the budget language on higher education funding.
That is fun stuff. So here's some news that's not really news. I was checking out my weekly email from Federal Student Aid, and that's called their FSA Partner Connect emails that they send out to you. And I really found nothing new from this past week worth reporting on for our audience. Unless, of course, you wanted to hear about, these are some really fun topics. So, number one, the additional designations of entities under Section 483, Subsection A, 3E of the Higher Education Act and Institution of Higher Education Guidance. Sounds fun. Don't know what it's about. Or the spring draft of the 2022-2023 EDE Technical Reference Guide, something I'm sure you read at night, right, Dana?
To help me go to sleep.
That's right. Or the last one, the record submission due date for 2019-2020 direct loan program year closeout. So just as I thought, it appears all's quiet right now on the federal front. Dana?
I got nothing to add. But changing subjects, for subscribers to the Chronicle of Higher Education, you can find an always being updated list of colleges that will require students and our employees to be vaccinated against COVID-19. Right now, their list includes over 360 schools. I don't think we're on the list yet. Any word on this, Dennis?
No, as far as I know, our district chancellor has not put out word yet on this.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, you can find a link to the article in our show notes. I believe you need to be a paid subscriber to get it.
Yes, I believe you do.
Yes.
So pay up, people.
Give me money or give them money.
Give them money, right.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So, Dana, you know how I don't want to just give our time away here on the show, but mm-hmm. I found a webinar we may want you, our audience, and all of our staff to attend. So NASFA has a webinar planned for May 27th titled Keeping Up with Recent Immigration Trends, How to Advise DACA and Undocumented Students. Considering immigration policy is always on the move, NASFA will discuss how we can best advise our DACA and undocumented students in the current climate and share some best practices and resources on the topic. The best thing about all of this, the webinar is free for NASFA members, and yes, Dana, we are NASFA members. Mm-hmm. So for more information on this webinar, check out our show notes for the link.
Awesome. So Dennis, here's some super sexy news for everyone. Interest rates for federal student and parent loans for the 2021-2022 award year have been released. And it seems like the cost of getting a loan is going up a bit. The interest rate on Federal Direct Stat for loans for undergraduate students will be 3.734%, up from 2.75% for the 2020-2021 school year. Keep in mind, this year was a record low rate. For federal direct parent plus loans, the 2021-2022 interest rate will be 6.284%, up from 5.3% for the current school year.
Interesting, yeah, that it's gone up considering.
Yeah.
I always thought it was tied to certain government treasury bills, and I don't think our federal interest rates have gone up much at all, but okay. It does have an effect on this apparently. So
they don't pull the numbers out of a hat?
it would seem that way, especially when we're talking 3.734. I mean, we're talking going to the thousands of a percentile.
Yes.
Man. So, yes. Yeah, it does seem that way.
Yes, it does.
Well, Dana, you weren't kidding about the sexy nature of that news from the feds, all right?
Right. It's so exciting.
And I wish I could top off, you know, your news with more news. But like the title of the show will say, we have some news and some not so news. So what's the not so news? Other than having a lot more interviews in the coming weeks and months of the show, I think we should maybe do some deep dives into reports, articles, books, and podcasts that focus on higher education and even more focus on financial aid. I've mentioned a number of books in past episodes with my I Dare You to Read selections, but maybe we should go even deeper and when possible, maybe try to get the author on the show.
Hey.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So for example, I've mentioned a couple of books from Sarah Goldrick Robb, who I met at a thing at LA Valley College when they brought her in.
Okay.
And her books included Paying the Price and Reinventing Financial Aid. I've read both books quite a while ago and pre-pandemic. So let's see if my memory is good enough to conjure up the main themes of both books. I think they're pretty straightforward. Let's not even worry about that right now, though. And maybe save that for a future episode. So what do you think, Dana?
I think that's a great idea.
Good idea.
Yes. Uh-huh. So, but I got a question for you. What kind of incentive can we get these authors, you know, to come on the show? What do you think?
We might have to finally break down and buy What's Brewing Seas for coffee mugs, maybe.
Hey, that would be awesome.
How's that?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I like that idea. Maybe I'll see what I can do to get us some swag. How's that?
That sounds amazing.
All right, Dana. Let's throw a little music in here and come back for the last part of the show. And just like that, we are back, everyone, for that last part of the show, the last sip. Which, as everyone knows, is the time for I Dare You To selections, if we have them. Dana, do you have anything for our fantastic audience out there?
I am so sorry. I don't have one today, yeah. But hopefully the next show I will have one for you guys.
All right. Too much woodwork. And other than Bob Vila's DVD set on how to do floors.
Oh, my gosh. Bob. Oh, man. You just took me back right now.
You know, I believe he's still alive and out there somewhere.
That was going to be my next question to you is if he's still, if he's still with us.
I think I've met his son, not his real son, but at the cigar shop I go to and I was picking up maybe a cigar or two. This kid, he's got to be younger than me. I'm going to say like in his 30s or 40s, came in and he looked like what a young Bob Vila would look like.
Oh, man.
The hair. A little bit intense. Of facial hair. Yeah, it was just really weird. But then he spoke with like an Eastern European accent. So I'm like, I don't know if Bob Vila with that name is Eastern European. So who knows?
Man, you never know, man.
May not be his son at all. Well, I have a real quick one just because if people have been reading any news lately, and I'm not going to suggest where you get your news from as far as major newspapers and all. Please just go out and read some. Not on TikTok, and don't read your news on Instagram, please, people. Go to a real news source. Inflation has been in the news, everybody. As in, if you didn't know it, we have some inflation going on. But there's a book out called The Price of Everything, Finding Method in the Madness of What Things Cost by Eduardo Porter. It's a book I bought a while ago, but I think if you find books like this, or there's another book I have that's like, Why Does Popcorn Cost So Much at the Movies? By a professor from University of California, Irvine, of all things. Learn about the economics behind things because it's a little too easy for us to all think about when government does spending, or we do spending, or industry does spending, or industry corporations do stock buybacks. Why do they do that? Why do they do dividends? And trying to figure out, there is method to the madness of how numbers work out there, so that we can understand better the impact of inflation. You know, cost of gas has gone up significantly. I don't know if you filled up your car recently. Yeah. You know, talk to a friend with a pickup truck that, you know, used to be $50. Now it's like $70. It makes a big difference. So, you know, I'm going to put out there, The Price of Everything is one book among any others on economics to get you going on understanding just a little bit about money and the idea of cost to you and me. Because inflation means that if it costs more to do something, do you do less of it, or do you have to suck it up? So, you know, that's about, I guess that's about all we have for today as far as items. So everybody, I want to thank, of course, my co-host Dana for joining us here on the What's Brewing CSFA show. And of course, thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And everyone, if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcsfa@gmail.com.
You can find this and all What's Brewing CSFA podcasts on Google Podcasts, your Apple Podcast app, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CSFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and me.
This has been episode number 91, recorded the morning of Tuesday, May 18th, 2021. Have a great day.
And have a great week.